Lip-smacking good. Hi, welcome to the very first episode of Lip-Smacking Good Podcast, where the motto of the show is, if you're not smacking your lips, it ain't good. And this is a part of the Black Guy Who Tips premium content. And I'm very excited because our very, very first guest, her name is Stella. And I found her on foodjunkiechronicles.net. She's from Toronto. She's been blogging about food and everything food related since 2010. You can find her on Twitter at foodie, FOODIEYU. And her blog is everything about food, where she eats, restaurants, she bakes, she cooks, y'all, she does it all. And on her site, she also has recipes for, so for those of you people out there who are not quite fond or don't really know how to cook, she has some great stuff out there for you to follow. She also has pictures and blogs of everything that she does, guys. So I am just excited to introduce you to Stella. Stella, say hello to the people, sweetie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to talk to you about my love for food.
Cool. You're from Toronto, Canada. How is the food scene in Canada? Because I'm from the States. We're actually in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm far, far away from Canada. So what is the food scene like in Canada?
Well, it's actually been booming for the last few years. We are a very multicultural city. So we have a lot of different kind of cuisines here right now in Toronto, from Thai to Japanese, Korean. You have all sorts of Asian cuisine, as well as to your French and Italian, Spanish. We basically have everything. So if you, even just one day, if you're like, oh, you know, I don't know what to eat, you can just walk around downtown and you basically can find a lot of variety of the different kinds of food we have here.
Wow. So it's like a multicultural. When you go out, you're like, whatever you can think of, you guys have it there.
Exactly. From like your, you know, $5 bowl of pho to your fine dining, we have it all here.
Cool. What inspired you to even start your blog?
It was kind of funny, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I started posting a lot of pictures of food. I've always liked food, but I joined Facebook and I was starting to post a lot of food pictures on my personal Facebook page. And a good friend of mine, Cindy, she suggested, you know, why don't you start a blog? And to me at the time, it just seemed like a lot of work, like I didn't want to spend too much time on it. But then I thought it was a good idea since I can just have all my pictures up there instead of bombarding people on my Facebook page and my timeline. So I started having a blog just to refer to my family and friends in terms of like where I went and the pictures. But then I did find that I was also writing a lot about the restaurants and my experiences at the restaurant, and I wanted, you know, just other people to see it too. So I started promoting the blog on social media outlets, and basically that's how I started. And it's really a passion of mine, and I love doing it. So it's been great.
You call yourself a foodie, like a food junkie. Like, what exactly does that mean?
Well, to me, I guess a food junkie, as in I just love everything about food. I'm not picky with food. I'm happy with, you know, sometimes I have cravings for like just a slice of pizza, like from like Pizza Hut or like McDonald's, to like, you know, baking, cooking, and as well as taking pictures of food. I like to read about, you know, the different trends, like food trends, as well as, of course, going out to restaurants and, you know, trying different kind of cuisines. So I think it's pretty much all-encompassing. So in that sense, I felt like Food Junkie is a good name for me. Basically, like, it's all-encompassing. So I like every aspect of food out there. So that's how I came up with the name.
And for me, when I read that, I was like, you know what? I think she's describing me because I like to eat everything. There is very, very few things that I'm like, that's not for me. And even if I try it, I will try different versions of it because yeah. I might not like the way it was prepared the first time.
Really good point, actually.
Has that ever happened to you where you tried something and you didn't like it, then you tried another version and then you enjoyed that version better?
I actually hear that from a lot of people that I talk to. Let's say, you know, they say that, they can say that they don't like, I'm just going to try to name some kind of food there, like, you know, or venison. Some people tell you know, I don't like venison or lamb, you know, it's too gamey. I've tried it once, I don't want to try it again, you know, I've had it. Well, first of all, I always give everything a try one time. And, secondly, I realized that it really depends on how it was prepared. And, if the first time it was not prepared well or not to your liking, it doesn't mean that you actually don't like the dish or, you know, the animal, whatever we're talking about itself. You know, there's always different ways to prepare it. And I love, you know, I tell people that all the time, you know, don't write it off completely even after your first time. There might be another restaurant or another recipe that can, you know, make it better or make it to your taste. So that's why I think you brought up a really good point. There's so many ways of, you know, cooking and techniques that, you know, makes one dish or one thing can taste really different.
Yeah, and I'm bringing up, I'm thinking about, like, avocado. Like, I can take avocado, you can slice it, you can put it on a sandwich, you can put it in a salad, and I love avocado. But once you take it and you make guacamole out of it, the texture is completely different. And I tried all kinds of ways. I was like, oh, I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like it. But I finally found a version that I like. We go to this place here in Charlotte called Sushi 101, and they like make shrimp chips, and you dip the shrimp chips in an avocado, and it is just good. And I was like, I like this, but the other versions were so terrible.
You know, it's good that you don't give up, you know, like you really, really want to try to like a version, and it's great that you kept on going and you finally found something that, you know, or a way to prepare it that you like, so that's great.
Yeah, because to me, I've learned, like, when it comes to food, it's so much food out there, and it's so many ways to prepare it, to bake it, to cook it, to fry it, all kinds of things you can do with simple ingredients to make it taste great. And you know, when I was a little kid, I'm like, Mikey, I eat everything. So like, my family used to pick at me. They say if she don't like it, she really don't like it, because just about everything I eat, I like.
Right. And it's good that, you know, that's why food is so great. Like, you know, there's just so many ways to prepare it. There's no limit to what you can do with food. And at the same time, it's still subjective, but that's also great. It's a great conversation starter, you know, talking about different kinds of food and how to prepare it. And, it's, you know, it's I just think it's a very universal subject. And for when I hear people, you know, they just say, oh, you know, I just eat to, you know, kind of like survive or just to live, you know. And to me, it's just when I hear that, I want to
shed a tear for them. Go, you just don't understand. You just don't. You don't understand. Cause like for me, the very first time I tried steak that was not well done, I wanted to start singing at the table. I never knew steak could be so tender and so moist and not dry and not where you had to smother it in sauces in order for it to be edible. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was like, I haven't ate yet. It was like all my taste buds had awakened, and I was like, yes.
Yeah, and, exactly, for steak, like a well-done steak. You know, like, I don't know, it's just a personal thing. If I know a person that, you know, likes just steak well done, you know, I can't help but judge.
Okay, all right. All right. I'm not alone. I understand. I'm not the only one that gives you like the wide eye going, that poor steak. You have just killed a perfectly wonderful piece of meat there.
And you just question, like, can we still be friends kind of thing.
Okay. Thank you. I question that. Go, I don't know if we can hang anymore. You like to fry your meat kind of hard there.
Exactly.
You've traveled all over the world. I've seen on your blog where you've been to Hong Kong and all these other places. How do you get into such exclusive places? Because some of these places you get like invites and things like that. And I'm like, wow, how do you even get a chance to get into these places?
Well, for Hong Kong, I was born in Hong Kong. So I do have friends there and relatives. So when I ever go back to visit, they will bring me to special places that people might not know about, more private dining club or whatever, private kitchen. So in Hong Kong, it might be a bit different. As for Toronto, there is a lot of, for the past 2 years, there's a lot of new restaurants coming up. And because social media is just so popular now, a lot of marketing firms and PR firms work with these restaurants to invite, media, bloggers, random, food writers to just taste the new menu before it goes out or whatever the case may be. So in terms of invitations, that's where it's from. They find me on, Twitter or Facebook, and they see that I'm really passionate about what I do. So I get invitations to these events.
Wow, I'm gonna have to learn how to get on that club and find out what they're doing it here.
Your podcast and everything, it'd be great.
Yes, so I can just go and just do all these great wonderful things. I might not be able to take the beautiful pictures you do, but I'll be able to voice my opinion. Out of all the places you've been to, where is your favorite place to dine?
In Toronto or?
Just period. So you can have one of each or just one place that you just love in general?
In general, I think if anything, it would be Hong Kong in the sense that there's a lot of great street food, a lot of, I don't know, maybe it's the Asian culture or just people in Hong Kong. We're always eating, when you walk down the street, people are eating, street food at, 11 p.m., 11:30, 12 o'clock. People are still eating out. Restaurants are still open. It's a very lively nightlife. And things are, food is cheap there. You can get a lot of variety. And I personally love spicy food. So, Asian cuisine, especially, Hong Kong and even Thailand, Singapore, a lot of great spicy food. So in a sense, I really do enjoy it there. You don't have to spend a lot of money, but at the same time, you get a variety and you can taste a lot of different Asian cuisine in Hong Kong.
What is street food like in Hong Kong? Because in the United States, street food is kind of different. So can you give me an example of what street food would be?
It can be anything like skewers, fish balls or just, noodles, different, I don't know if you heard of stinky tofu.
No.
there's that as well. And just small snacks that people can walk down the street and eat. There's a lot of different kinds, but they're mostly, a lot of them are fried as well, so very, very tasty, but also very bad for you, but, that's another topic.
Yes, that is. And when you say stinky tofu, does it really stink, or is that just what they call it?
Oh, it really stinks. It's like fermented tofu. So, it stinks.
Wow.
And people, even though it's really popular in Asia, not everybody likes it. It's kind of like the food durian. There's a strong, strong smell, but a lot of people like it because once they put it in their mouth, the taste is kind of different than how it smells like.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so some people can get over it, but, really, really personal choice.
A personal preference. I completely, I completely understand that. I was looking, and you have done a taste testing menu. I had never heard of this before. What is a taste testing menu?
So a tasting menu or?
Yeah, I call it taste testing, but like a tasting menu. I know one of them, you had like a 7-course meal. Like what exactly, is it like a mini menu that you choose from?
So, so actually tasting menu is like this. Usually when you go to a restaurant, they have, you know, they give you a menu and you choose, you know, an appetizer, a main, or dessert. So usually three courses, very simple. You make all your choices. But there are a lot more restaurants nowadays there that when you go in, the chef, if you prefer a tasting menu, you can ask if they do tasting menus, which is where the chef decides what she's going to give you.
Ooh.
And it's usually smaller portions of either, you know, smaller portions of, you know, a few dishes on the menu, or like several more dishes on the menu than you normally would choose, but you get to taste and try more things. And sometimes the chef will give you a dish that's not even on the menu. It may be seasonal produce that's, you know, he got the morning of from a farm or from a, you know, from a meat supplier, whatever it might be, something fresh that's not on the menu. And so it's basically a tasting menu is basically something that you leave all up to the chef.
Oh.
And that's a surprise element there.
Oh, cool. Okay, because it's like you don't really know what you're getting. You just go, okay. And a lot of them charge flat rates for this, right?
Yes, yes. They do give you, some restaurants do say, you know, tasting menu for five courses this much, tasting menu for seven courses this much. Or sometimes it might not be on the menu, but if you when you make a reservation on the phone, you can ask if they do a tasting menu, and sometimes chefs do that for you if you do ask. And they also ask if you have any allergies or restrictions, and they will prepare based on that.
Oh, neat! Wow, your pictures are so beautiful. Have you ever had to alter or change the food once you got it before you take the picture, or normally when you get the picture, it's just like picture perfect?
Usually I don't try to, I actually don't rearrange anything in the plate. Like, I want to really capture how it looks like originally. What I would do is maybe, like, you know, turn a dish around or like until I get a good angle. And I do like photo editing at home just to, if the picture is too dark or it's not clear enough, I try to bring that out in photo editing. So.
Wow, that's because most of the food I get is so, it's very pretty. It's like every now and then I might have to, you know, push it around a little bit. But I think overall, most people, especially once you go to like the fancier restaurants, you normally don't really have that, you know, problem. Most of the time the problem is, you know, my little, you know, regular camera is kind of different than, you know, the higher scale stuff.
Right.
When it comes to the picture taking, what is the most unique thing you've ever eaten before?
The most unique thing would be probably one of the, maybe most would say of something pretty gross. It's called a balut. So it's a Filipino delicacy. So balut is B-A-L-U-T. So it's basically a duck fetus egg.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's definitely the most interesting thing I've ever eaten. So so it's, you steam it, and then when you open it, it, depending on how developed the duck fetus is, you know, sometimes, you know, you get some feathers, sometimes you can taste, like, you didn't, like, mine wasn't that developed.
Oh my.
So there weren't that, you know, many feathers, but, you know, I did remember, you know, tasting or just there was some kind of crunch, so I believe that was the beak.
Wow.
But, it's a Filipino, like, delicacy, so, but the broth did taste pretty good, but other than that, it didn't taste anything, like, it wasn't gross tasting.
Okay.
The concept and it is kind of gross, but I mean, taste-wise, there was nothing bad about it.
Wow, now that's very different. I've never heard of that before.
Google it. You'll see some pictures for sure.
Wow. So that's going to be interesting. If I ever go there, I'd be like, you know what? I don't know if I want to try that. But
definitely. Like, I guess, the Asians, we just eat everything. Like, we would try everything once.
And I don't know if that was to be a mental thing, but it would be something where it was like, I would have to consider that really hard just for the fact that I'm going, I don't know. I don't know. She said she had beaks. I don't know.
Definitely a psychological thing that you have to, conquer that first. Yeah.
Well, if I conquer that, I'll try it just for you. I'll say, if she can do it, I know I can do it too.
Yeah, exactly.
What food events do you look forward to each year? Because I know on your blog you keep a track of like food events that are happening. What is your favorite food event?
Let me think. There's just so many events out there right now, especially in the summer. So I guess one of the big ones is actually coming up in June. So it's called Toronto Taste. So they have it every year in June, and all the proceeds for the event is for Second Harvest, and so it's for charity. And the night of Toronto Taste, a lot of chefs and a lot of restaurants come out, and basically if you buy a ticket to the event, it's basically you can eat all you want, you can drink all you want, But the most important thing is it's for charity. So you have, like, the city's finest chefs and, like, beverage purveyors and suppliers. And there's silent auctions and also entertainment. So you can really make a night out of it.
Wow. I mean, like do they have it where do you use – I know some events say you use tickets to purchase things. And you were saying, like, it's a flat fee, right?
It's a flat fee, and it's not – cheap in the sense that because there's just so much good food and so much, you know, wines and cocktails and beers. So it is a pretty pricey event, but at the same time, you know, that's for charity and you do get a tax receipt back. So there are very good benefits to Toronto Taste.
Well, that would be wonderful because my thing is that when it comes to food, I don't mind paying more money for high quality food and get my money's worth. So that sounds like you're getting your money's worth.
Oh yes, definitely.
What is your favorite thing to eat that you didn't make? Because I know you bake and you cook and all that stuff. What's your favorite thing to eat that you don't have hands on in?
So something that when I go out to eat, you mean?
When you go out to eat, something that you didn't make.
Can't make.
Oh, what's that, sweetie?
Sorry, something that I can't make or can make, sorry.
Oh, something that you didn't make, I'm sorry.
I actually really, really like burgers and pizza.
Yeah, pizza is one of my favorite foods. Me and you on the same page. People say, what's your favorite food? I said pizza. They go, pizza is not food. And I look at them sideways. Like, what do you mean pizza is not food? Pizza is food. Yes, I've had people tell me that before. And you know what? I've actually had, have you ever had breakfast pizza?
Breakfast? No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. It's this place here. And I seen it on the menu and I was like, I don't know, but they make like, it's like a personal, like a little personal brand pizza, and they bake the pizza and it has eggs and it has spinach and it has feta cheese and onions and you can put and it's actually a breakfast pizza. I have my eggs scrambled, but you can get your eggs any way you want to. If you ever get a chance, breakfast, if you're a pizza lover, breakfast pizza is just awesome.
Wow, that sounds amazing. I'm just thinking now, you can actually make a day, like a pizza day. You can have your breakfast pizza, and then you have your normal pizza for lunch, or dinner. And then there's also dessert pizza. I don't know if you heard that.
No, ma'am. Let's talk about it.
So it's just like a pizza, but then so you have like Nutella on it and banana, slices of banana. So it's just a basic pizza, but you have your typical like dessert toppings on it. So it's basically like a flatbread.
Wow.
A most popular one would be like Nutella or some whipped cream and, you know, slices of strawberries and bananas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can definitely make a pizza day.
Oh, you sure could. That right there sounds like that's right up my alley. What is your favorite dish that you actually make?
I really like to make lasagna. I think, I have a really good recipe for lasagna, as well as chocolate chip cookies. I guess, if anything, those are what I would like to make for people if they do come over for dinner, and cookies, I would make my special chocolate chip cookies. I think those two are, I'm actually not a big baker or a cook, but I do enjoy doing those things when I have time, because these days I just go out a lot to eat.
Wow, yeah, that sound good. Lasagna and cookies, that's a meal for me every day if that was possible and I didn't end up being 1,000 pounds. I would definitely eat that all the time. What is your favorite food that you would stash from somebody? You know how some people have food and they just love it so much they just don't like to share and they just stash it. Do you have foods that you just stash?
Okay, when I go see a movie, I always get popcorn, and I can't share my popcorn. I love movie popcorn, like full of butter, and I don't like it. Like when they reach for my popcorn, I'm like, just get your own, because yes. I actually can finish a whole bag on my own. And you know, I like it with like white cheddar powder, like the works.
Ooh.
So, I can't share it. I just can't share it.
I've never had the white cheddar.
It's a simple food, but like it's like my go-to, like, yeah, it's my go-to thing, popcorn.
Cool, especially the fresh popcorn when it's just freshly popped. Yes, that's...
Yeah, so good. Sometimes I wonder if I'm even going for the movie. I'm just like, going to the theater just because I like popcorn. And I'm just like randomly choosing a movie to go see.
Yeah, because for us, that's about the only time we really eat popcorn is when we go to the movies. So we go to the movies a lot. I guess we like popcorn more than we think we do, because every time we go, it's like, yeah, give me a bag of popcorn and a big soda. So I can wash this popcorn down.
Yeah. It's a very, I just think that it's so light. It can't be that bad for you.
Isn't that the truth? And you said your popcorn, you has the works. Like, what exactly is the works when it comes to popcorn?
Well, for me at least, first of all, it has to have butter. It has to be butter popcorn. And sometimes I ask for extra butter. And for me, I also like to sprinkle white cheddar powder on it.
Ooh.
So, yeah, so a bit of the cheesy flavor as well as the butter. So, it's pretty unhealthy, but I always think that's because it's so light, you're not really gaining any pounds from it.
Wow. See, I'm gonna have to get up on that white cheddar butter, because I see it in there, the white cheddar powder, and I see it in there. I'm like, I don't know. But next time I see it, I go, you know what? I'm going to have to,
try it.
Yeah, spend, $5 for the little thing of powder and then sprinkle it and bring it with me every time I come in.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Actually, my friends do that too.
I was like, it must be worth it, because if you're selling it, it must taste delicious. So
good.
You have.
I'm like salivating right now just thinking about it.
I know, Ryan. I was like, when the next time we go to the movies, baby? I'm kind of wondering about that. I was like, ooh, so I think something come out this weekend. We got to go check it out. The movies is on my mind now.
Yeah, definitely. Do it. It can be a, date night.
Yes, date night. That would be wonderful. Date night to the movies and popcorn. That's right up my alley. What is your favorite drink?
My favorite drink, alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Either. Let's do alcoholic first. What's your favorite alcoholic drink?
Alcoholic. It's funny. Actually, have you heard of the Caesar? So in the States, you guys don't have Caesars. So you guys have Bloody Mary.
Yes. Yes.
But in Canada, we have a thing called Caesars. So instead of just tomato juice, we have clamato juice. So clamato is supposedly like clam juice, but personally I don't taste any clam in clamato juice.
Okay.
But so the Caesar is basically kind of like a Bloody Mary, but made with clamato juice. And I also like it with horseradish, so it's a very spicy.
I'm about to say, yeah, that sounds spicy.
Yeah, spicy. And some Tabasco as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's good. And also, I really love cocktails. So right now, I really love cocktails. Anything with ginger beer, I really like.
I've never had ginger beer.
Really? Oh, you must go try it. Must go try it.
Yes.
It really depends if you like ginger as well, though.
Oh, cool. I've never tried ginger beer because I'm just recently getting into, like, beers. And so, to me, it's like the beer thing is kind of new to me because I like, sweet stuff. Like, I like sweet tea vodka and lemonade, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not a big fan of beer just because I find that it fills me up really quickly and I can't eat. And that's a big problem. If I'm full from beer, then I can't make room for food. So I'm more of a cocktail person as well as a wine drinker. Than beer for me.
Oh, I completely understand that because I'm like you. I like the drinks, but I came for the food. The food is why I have showed up to this establishment, is for food.
You know, I came out here to a restaurant because I want to eat the food. Like, for me, the food is the main thing, and I don't want to get filled up by beer and all the you know, carbonated drinks. So I
yeah, that's how they get you with the sodas and stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But I think, like, back to your question, it would be the Caesar. It would be my favorite drink.
Cool.
Or good mojito on a summer day. That's also good.
You know, I've never had a mojito, and everybody says that they are awesome.
Yeah, I know. It's really refreshing. And, yeah, so it's it has, like, rum, like, lime juice, sugar, and some sparkling water and mint. So when you put all that together, I mean, it sounds refreshing already. But
yes, it does.
It's so great. It's so great.
What is the worst thing that you have cooked or ate?
Worst thing? This is a tough one. Because, again, it really depends on if it was just, it wasn't made well or
yeah.
I can't think of anything right now. Like, it's funny because my friends always ask me, or people that have just met me, ask me the same thing. Is there something you don't like to eat? And I can actually say there's nothing I don't like to eat. Like, I would always eat it. It's just that I have preferences over some food than others. So, I don't think I've ever ate anything that, you know, that just is like, you know, that turned me off or say like, you know, I'm never going to eat this again. Like, I was disgusted. I don't remember having that experience ever.
Wow.
Maybe I just haven't eaten enough. So I don't know.
I'm like you. I like everything. So it's very, very few things that I can truly say that I really don't like. One thing that I can truly say I personally don't like is egg custard. I don't know if you've ever had egg custard, but I'm down south in the States, and they have this something called egg custard pie. I have no idea what it's made out of. That's one thing that I'm like, no. Now, other than that, I have no issues. Is it expensive to be a food blogger, and do you make any money off of it?
It gets expensive because, I mean, like, I guess food bloggers in general, they start a blog about food, obviously, because, you know, they like food. But then there's different kinds of food bloggers. Ones they blog about, like, recipes. So they're more like bakers or cooks. But for me, I guess, my biggest expense is food, is going out to eat. Like, I actually don't even go shopping anymore. I used to be like a big shopper, you know, going to malls and like shopping for clothes and whatever. But now it's just like, I look at my Visa bill and it's basically like mostly restaurants. As for my blog, I do have sponsored posts.
Mm-hmm.
There will be times when, brands or whatever it may be, they will ask me if I was interested in doing a post, and they will pay me for the post. But as for constant steady income, I wouldn't say so. There's really nothing from ads. I mean, ads is pretty tough. Like, you need a lot of hits.
Okay.
And viewers to earn a steady income from ads. But yeah, it does get expensive. I do have a 9-to-5 job that supports this hobby.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, so, but nowadays, like, when you get, more popular or people know you more, and as I said, if you're on, like, certain lists on PR firms or whatever it be, you do get a lot of free meals, especially for, like, media events or new restaurant openings. They invite you.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, I guess I get paid in free food.
Yeah, that.
I don't get paid literally in, like, you know, cash.
Yeah, okay. That free food is my type of currency. Yes, yeah, that's the best kind of, like, free food. I am there.
Right, obviously it's mine as well. That's why I'm still doing it.
Yes, yes. Stella, I want to tell you thank you very, very much for being here and doing this with me. First ever lip smacking good. Could you, I guess, give the people contact information about you and how they can reach you?
Sure. So my website again is foodjunkiechronicles.net. And my Twitter handle is foodieu, FOODIEYU. You can also find me on Facebook. I don't update it too often, but if you search for Food Junkie Chronicles, you will also find me there. I blog about food 2 or 3 times a week. It can be events or new restaurants or just, you know, anything about food. I've been doing it for 3 years. So yeah, hopefully, check it out. And again, Karen, thank you for having me on your show. Very excited for your new show as well, and I'll be tuning in.
Thank you very, very much. And for those of you out there in the Black Guy Who Tips Nation, go support her, show her Black Guy Who Tips love, let her know that you found her through us. And I want to tell you thank you again, ma'am. And that's it for the first ever podcast of Lip Smacking Good.